Good morning, folks. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. The Cup of Goodness program this morning is a Sunday morning program, so we deviate from some of the other miscellaneous subjects we're going on, but they're all dealing with the goodness of God. The goodness of God is preached only by Paul. It's found only in the King James Bible, and you can only find it in the King James Bible if you know how to rightly divide that thing. Look into Paul to find out what the risen Savior taught to Paul to teach to the Gentiles, not to the Jews. Jesus told the apostles what to teach the Jews, and Paul is the one that's supposed to be our apostle to talk to us as Gentiles, of which we all are. So, let's just look at this thing this morning. We have made it as far as Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. So, we're going to begin with verse 6. Now, before we do that, I think this is a great opportunity to talk about a word study. What does it mean to do a word study? I've had a few people ask me that in recent days, and so, well, let's just look at this. Go to chapter 5. What are we going to talk about today? So I get down here, and I see in verse 6 and verse 7 and verse 8, and I see some things that I think would be quite interesting. So what do? I grab my Bible, I get my concordance out, and I do some quick word studies. See, every word of God is true. Every word of God is inspired, breathed by God, and preserved, every word. So those words are so important, and if they're rightly divided, we can look up a word, we can find the scriptures that have that word in it, and we can compare all those scriptures. I'm telling you, we have, in this day and age, as much as I, and probably some of you folks out there, hate technology, we have not only the King James Bible, preserved from when it was first created, etc., etc. We have the means of us, through a concordance, complete concordance, that we can study His words by themselves. Now, if you want a really fascinating study, you get the book by Riplinger, and it's called In Awe of Thy Word, and you find out that the English language, not the American language, but the English language is the language that God's going to has preserved this Bible into for the last days, for the whole rest of the dispensation of grace, tribulation, etc., etc. What's so special about the English language? Well, first of all, it's under attack. So we know right there's something wrong. People are envious of the English language. And yet, all the countries are learning English. If you go to school and you find out what's going on in your schools, private or public or whatever, you see that there's a huge attack against English. Well, this book by Riplinger, In Awe of Thy Word, will show you not only the language of English, biblical English we could call it, but you'll find out that the English language, that every letter has a definition to it. And the letters that are in the words, with the definitions that the letters have, you put all those letters together, and they still come up with the definition of that word, even based on the letters. It is a fascinating study of a fascinating language. And we also know that the devil has kept people from reading the English, and we've had the English under attack with slang and texting type stuff, getting rid of the vowels, and not learning grammar over the years, and not learning phonics. So when a King James Bible is put in front of people, they do have a hard time reading these words. Is it meant to be that way? So does God want to dummy down His Bible so the people that have been dummied down in school can still read the Bible? No, He's not. You have to do a little mind work. You've got to do a little study. Grammar is important for English. It's not important to study the grammar of the Greek so you can understand the deep meaning. And this, that is just baloney hogwash. But understanding grammar, punctuation, phonetic reading, and the Bible. You know, the Bible used to be read by fifth graders, if not even younger. Now college people. And I'm sorry to say, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or offend anybody, but a lot of adults have a hard time reading the King James Bible. They have a hard time reading the NIV Bible. They have a hard time reading, period. So, they listen to their pastor. They listen to their teacher. And they listen to their music. They listen to the musicians. They listen to their feelings. The authority of a King James Bible has been destroyed, taken away from people. And if you give them a King James Bible, Most of the King James Bibles that are out there have such tiny lettering or skinny little columns, they're hard to read anyway. So there really is an attack against the King James Bible, has been for 400 plus years. So like I say, if you want one, I'm thinking maybe Jack probably got your Bible today. I would think you would have received your Bible that I told you I'd send out. I've got a few more to send out if anybody's interested in a King James 1611 Bible. And it's easy to learn, easy to study. Let me explain to you what a word study is. You take the word and you study that word. You find all the verses in that Bible that have that word in it, and you print them off. You just sit back and you read those verses, and sure as shooting, as they say, maybe they say that down in Texas, sure as shooting, you'll start to see something that God would have you learn in your studies of that word. This is how I got started. I was always doing word studies, even when I first started my ministry. First thing I did was I studied the word music. There's over 500 references. It's the number two subject in the Bible of the most verses on a subject, and that's music. And I started to look up all the verses on music, trumpet, sound, praise. I mean, all those things that dealt with music, cymbals, tabrets, I mean, you name it. And that was my first study. That turned my life around regarding my music teaching. You want to rightly divide now. When I first started to think about this rightly dividing stuff by looking to Paul, I tested it by doing this. I took a word and I printed all the verses off for that word in the Gospels. Then in a separate printing, I typed in that word and I brought the verses up in the concordance on my computer concordance, which is much easier. I found all the verses that are in Paul's books that talk about that certain word. Well, I read the verses in the Gospels. Then I read the verses in Paul's books, and I recognized that just about every time, they were different. I saw that Paul teaches these subjects differently, or they had different consequences, or some were told to follow, and some things were told not to. I mean, they're told to follow the Beatitudes in the Gospels, but we're not taught to do the Beatitudes in Paul's books. And there's a couple Beatitudes that if you look at the Beatitudes, we can't even do. Paul doesn't even expect us to do that, doesn't even teach us to do that. They're missing in Paul's teachings. Look up the Ten Commandments in the Gospels and in the Old Testament. Look up the Ten Commandments where you find them in Paul's books. Not the word Ten Commandments, but just those commandments, and you'll find one is missing. Remember the Sabbath day. So there's differences. Then I started to think, well, I'm looking at the word in the Gospels. I'm looking at that particular word in Paul's books. What about Hebrews to Jude? So I started to add that third column of words, and I started to recognize two things. One, yes, they're different than Paul's teachings, but alas, as they say with drama, they were similar to the Gospel verses. Well, of course they'd be similar. John, James, Peter, same guys, same apostles, in the Gospels. If I tell you this Paul thing, he just inserted this dispensation of grace, and you can see that when you do word studies. We're in Ephesians chapter 5, and we see in verse 10, we'll come back to verse 6 here, but he says in verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So in order to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord for you, Gentile, following Paul, we do these word studies, and we look to Paul's books, and that's all. You just stay with Paul's books. Now, eventually, you'll study them in the Gospels. You can study them in the tribulation books, as I call them, and you'll see the differences. It'll help you understand that you've got a grasp on Paul's stuff. One of the things I found out when I first started preaching about Paul and the risen Savior was I had a lot of unlearning to do. I had a lot of Baptistic teachings that were scriptural but were not dispensationally correct. Baptism, Lord's Supper, we've talked about all those things. Things that were taught in Peter that are not taught by Paul. I started to recognize those things. So I had to forget about that. I had to start thinking, risen Savior, his words, risen Savior. That's all I could think of. So I just wanted to teach myself what the risen Savior taught me. I'm not saying ignore the Gospels. I'm not saying ignore the tribulation books. I'm not saying ignore Genesis to Malachi. Still read those things. That's history. That's what God operated with his people. But to you, you read Paul's books. And you do that the easiest as far as studies go. First, you just read them. It wouldn't take you more than a day or so to get through all of Paul's books, really. And if you want to just stay with a couple of fantastic, just stay with Ephesians and Colossians, Philippians. Read those a couple of days. Wouldn't take you a couple, you know, hours or so. I mean, they're small books. Then you go back and then you read Romans. You know, oh, that's tough. No, Romans is not tough at all. And you get into the studying thing, and you learn how to sit down with your Bible. You whip up that concordance, and the easiest thing is on a computer, because then you can just print those verses out. And you don't need a concordance to check out the Greek numbers, how to study the Greek and look it up in a Greek concordance and lexicon and all this stuff. And no, that's not the point. You don't need to get that humongously green book with super-duper tiny words. No, you just get that computer program going and print off the verses for that particular word and sit back and read those things, and you'll see what I have seen, what others have seen, and it's just a fantastic way to study. What better way to study the words of God than to study the words of God? Now, here's an example. We're in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, and we're looking at verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Parentheses, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, parentheses, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I go back and look at those verses, and I realize what's being said there, and so then you can say, well, you had your devotion for the day done. In fact, the devotion today is just read one little verse, read a guy's paragraph or two about how he interprets that verse, and then go on with your day. That doesn't count. I mean, that's those devotions, the daily bread, for example, so bogus, so false gospel, so great commission, so miracles, wonders, guideposts, all these stories about people that have had these miracles in their lives. And all that does is that just feeds the great commission of signs and wonders and healings, and miracles, all that stuff. That's just amazing. So anyway, I go back to those verses now, and here are some of the words I would look up. Verse 6, let no man deceive you. Well, I would look up the word deceive. What does the Bible say about deceive? Okay, I'd look those up, and they'd take me a couple minutes. That'd be exciting. Then I would look up, deceive you with vain words. Well, I would look up vain. What does he say about vain and words? Let's look up the word words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God. Well, I look up wrath of God. I wonder what he has to say about the wrath of God. Upon the children of disobedience, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Well, I looked up the word partakers, and that's an interesting Bible study. For ye were sometimes darkness. Oh, there's one, darkness. Look at the difference. Look at what he says about darkness. Look at the results of darkness. Look at the consequences in the different dispensations as such. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. If you want, type in children of light. See something very interesting there. For the fruit of the Spirit, okay, look up fruit of the Spirit, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Oh, now there's some long Bible studies for you. The goodness of God, righteousness, and truth. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship. Okay, look up fellowship. With unfruitful works of darkness. There's that word darkness again. But rather reprove them. Well, look up the word reprove. Find out the definition of reprove and see what else God says about reprove. This is how you do this, folks. It's not a big thing. You don't need somebody else to do that for you. But what I have learned is we are all so busy. And some folks have a tough time with the King James Bible, and I realize that, so I don't say that mockingly. It's the truth, and that's a sad truth. And I know how kids are being taught to read nowadays. This King James Bible, you think it's difficult for them now? You just wait till they become adults. So let's go back. Let's go back to verse 6, and let's do that. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Well, Let's look up deceive. Let's find out what we have in deceive. And as we would say, oh my, there's a lot of interesting things about the word deceive. Romans 16:18, for example. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So when he says here in verse 6 of Ephesians 5, let no man deceive you with vain words. Well, we see here that Romans 16, some of those vain words are good words and fair speeches. Let's look at the teachers and the preachers and the pastors today that are teaching and preaching what they're teaching and preaching. And they've got a lot of good words and they're fair speeches. They're good speakers. Well, they're good speakers, all right. They got the charismatic of them. They've got these $500 suits. You know, I mean, they're just popular people. But they're deceiving people. Good words and fair speeches. Really? Yeah. Well, let's keep looking at this deceit thing. That's interesting, okay? Let no man deceive himself, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We can deceive ourselves. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. So somebody who's worldly wise, degrees here, degrees there, been to this college, been to that college, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. So we're trying to talk to people that have got these supposedly great educations, and we're not getting anywhere with them, are we? King James Bible, they'll give you a bunch of reasons why the King James Bible is, the manuscripts are bad, man had a hold of this thing. They'll come up with all sorts of excuses, all sorts of reasons. Well, you know why that is? They're wise in this world. They've been to Bible college. Really? Yes. Why? Bible college teaches you what's wrong with the Word of God. Is that amazing? I think I'll go to Bible college so I can find out all the places that are wrong in that Bible. But if you go to different colleges used in different books, they'll tell you different things. That tells me that I think they are the one wrong. These people are full of good words and fair speeches, and they deceive the hearts of the simple. And I've been deceived for years because I thought these guys were good preachers and good pastors and good teachers. And I found out that I was deceiving myself. There was a time that I had a parallel Bible. I had 6 different versions of the Bible in my one book. Oh, did I feel scholarly. I could compare the Living Bible with the English Bible, with the King James Bible, with the RSV, whatever those kind of stuff. And I looked at that and I thought, see, I never read it. I just felt scholarly because I could afford to buy a parallel Bible. Then one day some pastor tried to talk to me about a King James Bible, and it started to make sense. Yeah, why do I want 6 when I can have 1? I was no longer deceived. I'm no longer deceiving myself. Okay, let's keep going here. It says in Galatians 6:3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. There's a way to be deceived when you think you're something and you're nothing. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil lifestyles? Sure. Communications can refer to walk of life, manner of life. So an evil manner of life corrupts good manners. But let's just use the word communications, a way to communicate. Look at the TV, look at the video, look at the computer, look at the movies, look at the tech game, look at all the stuff that's going on. You know what that is? That's communications. And those communications are corrupting good manners. Please and thank you, Captain Kangaroo manners. No, good manners, manners of life, as Paul calls them, manner of life. People are being deceived by these evil communications. It wasn't 15, 20 years ago, or whatever you want to say, that what people are believing today, they did not accept 10, 15, 20 years ago. They would never have said, this is how they're going to dress. This is the kind of music they're going to listen to. This is the kind of lifestyle they're going to choose to have. That they went ahead and had that operation to change themselves. They've been deceived. And evil communications corrupted them, and they didn't even know what was going on. How do these things happen? They just happen. I've read enough about subliminal pictures in magazines and commercials, and you look at those things and you have to study them, and suddenly you realize they've got you thinking dirty. They've got you seeing words. They've got you seeing pictures. You don't even know you're seeing it. and they happen. I remember at a nursing home, I was looking at this pop machine because I had read about the stuff that looks in pictures of ice on the machines. And I recognized in that ice, I saw something in that ice. There it was, as plain as day. There was that figure. There was that person. Deceived. Evil communications, visual, commercials, advertisements, pictures, audio, video. Then it didn't take me long to realize that I learned some things about Disney movies, for example, that they had thrown in there. Disney? You mean good old Walt Disney would do something like that? Well, do a Google, as they call it. Google up Walt Disney movies and see what they've had in those movies that's gotten our kids to follow the way of Disney today, and look at what Disney supports today. They would have never thought that 10, 20 years ago. Little did I know that fairy flying around that castle was representing the modern Disney as it is represented today. I was deceived. Fell for that stuff. Let no man deceive you. Well, let's look at some more things about deceive. Be not deceived. Galatians 6:7. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. See, we have to remember when Paul says all things are lawful. And then we got those strings. They shouldn't cause people to stumble. There shouldn't be a power over us. We got those little strings attached. And yes, we don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. But we have to remember. He said, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if we're going to sow spiritual things, we'll reap spiritually. If we're going to sow physical things, we'll reap physically. If we make some bad decisions down here in this world, we're going to reap those bad decisions. And how many of us are just living with our reaping? We've got God's grace. And we've got all the things we've learned from the risen Savior, but we still have some reaping to do based on our earthly sowing. I'm in debt because of some stupid things that I've done over the years. Yeah, I'm still in it. That's just the way it is. Our health, things that we've got going on. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you think we're getting away with things? Don't forget, we still have the judgment seat of Christ coming up. We ourselves, my soul, I'm clean. I've been taken care of. But my works, I have not committed the perfect crime. If I die getting away with a crime, it's going to pop up in my judgment seat of Christ. So be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. How about this one in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14? Fabulous verse for Paul. Studying about Paul, rightly dividing and looking to what the preachers and pastors are supposed to be teaching today, it says here that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are people out there teaching doctrines by the sleight of men. They're cunning about it. And they're just hanging around in the bushes. They're hanging around, hiding behind those pulpits, etc., etc. They're just lying in wait to deceive. But if you get a hold of rightly dividing, get a hold of Paul's teachings from the risen Savior, be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You'll know. And once you start learning about Paul and what Paul teaches, and get off that great commission, get out of that religion, get out of that denominational stuff, you will no longer be tossed to and fro. All these different doctrines that are floating around, Jesus has already come. 1 Corinthians 13:10, we're waiting for Jesus to come. You've got soul sleep. I mean, you got down this list a mile long of teachings and every wind of doctrine. You just need one doctrine. That's the doctrine of the risen Savior taught to us by Paul through a King James Bible. How about this one? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. We need to remind ourselves, listen, this stuff does have to get worse and worse and worse. Falling away from what? Falling away from the goodness of God. The falling away is not from the Gospels. It's not from Peter and John. It's not from Jesus' teaching to the Jews. Matter of fact, that's increasing. That's getting more and more popular with people. So what's falling away? America's economy? Well, yeah. Why? Well, world government, world economy. The health in our country? Well, the health in our life? Sure. We can't have these miracles and healings. See, if there's a falling away, what those miracles and healings are not from Christ. They're not from God. So as those things are building up, religion is growing and growing and growing. People are fighting more for abortion, for the Ten Commandments, for this and that, marriage, this and that, and all that stuff. In the meantime, there's actually a falling away, because they're falling away from the risen Savior's teachings to Paul through a rightly divided Bible to you. That's what they're falling away from. Let no man deceive you by any means. That for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. It has to happen, folks. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We can't be in the tribulation yet, because this hasn't taken it. We're still in a falling away process. Romans 11:22, you know that's a verse they say all the time. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but see, that's fell, that's past tense. But toward thee, Gentile nation, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. More and more of this world, more and more of this country, more and more of Christianity is falling away from the goodness of God. How about you? Have you fallen away? Are you not interested in the goodness of God? Well, see, you've been deceived. You're part of that falling away. Let no man deceive you by any means. Here's a good one. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression, 1 Timothy 2:14. Really? Well, that's a tough one. Adam wasn't deceived, but the woman being deceived. She was the one that was deceived. Deceived, right? Anyway. So when we're looking at Adam not being the one deceived, who is the devil after today to get them to be tricked and deceived? Need I answer that question? Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. But who was the one responsible for it? It was still Adam. But they both paid the penalty, as do we to this day. We're going to have to stop there. We're running out of time again, so that was quick. We didn't get past the first four words. Let no man deceive you. We stopped on the word deceive. We did a word study. It's a fantastic way to study the Bible. Can't study them in different Bibles because all the different words are mixed up. King James Bible, you can study each word. Come up with some fantastic growth and study on your part. Well, we'll talk to you again Monday morning and again next Sunday for Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Maybe we'll get into the next word, vain. See you at the next program.